The Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck is underway, and it's this season naturally a little bit different than in past seasons, which were all in-person concerts. It's a combination this year, and tonight you have a chance to see on your screens a very personal concert with the family Knifick. That would be Tom Knifick, Renata Knifick, and son Gene Knifick, all three performing together music that they have known for a long time, and pieces that speak to a lot of their history together. And here in the studio, it's Tom Knifick. I'm so glad to have you back in person.
Good morning. Absolutely. And we did one of these by phone maybe almost a year ago, but before that, it's been some time. And I think about our shared history, dozens of these, right, for all the years.
And I'm going to say multiple dozens.
Multiple dozens. Then before that, Gerard McLeod. And to actually not have this for that last year and a half, that distance, this feels very wonderful. And I'm just delighted that you can be in person and be in person. It means a lot to me. So thank you for this.
Actually, I'm taking this as a very meaningful, thoughtful thing from you as well, that you actually missed being in the hot spot and talking about all of the concerts. You've brought so many incredible guests into this station, wonderful artists that you presented at Western Michigan University, incredible conversations. I mean, incredible players, of course, but when we all talk together, it seemed like we were saying something so important about art and music, and then so much of it went away.
Yes, yeah, I couldn't concur and feel any more strongly about that. So thank you.
So we are talking tonight about a special broadcast tonight. It's a video you can access at 7 o'clock through the Saugatuckmusic.org website. Very simple. The tickets are available now, and I'm really curious to hear about how you approached this concert.
Absolutely. Well, first, as we were talking, I mean, it's been a daunting time, certainly, for performing artists and, us amongst them. You know, we know the fraught nature of the last 18 months. But I think my mind goes to the presenters, and certainly I've been involved as a presenter all of my career as well. And those presenters that kept things going this time, I mean, I'm standing up and applauding for them. You can't see that in the radio land, but I'm literally just cheering for them right now, metaphorically. And in this case, Jenny Walford and Andrew Drew connected with us, and it's happening. It's a hybrid for them this summer for the festival, but just to keep it going and what that takes and the technology they have to wrap their heads around. And the other big thing is making the audience, the consumer, the listener comfortable with that. It's one thing to get it up, but it's another thing to figure out a way to have people, get to it. I mean, I know, I've got family members that are the next generation, and my mom out there, and it's not, it's not easy for them to, even if it's all laid out there in a big button, press here, it's still
learning new tricks.
It takes some dry runs if you want to get as many people to enjoy it as deserve to enjoy it. So again, I just want to thank Jenny and Andrew for carrying the torch, the flag, keeping it alive. Thank you.
A lot of presenters are wondering if, coming out of this, audiences will now be demanding both.
Yeah, I'm sure.
you can't
put the genie back in the bottle.
I want the option of staying home and watching this concert or going in person. That's a new wrinkle for all these hardworking presenting organizations.
Absolutely.
But could we talk about the history of the Saugatuck Festival and how it interacts with your family?
Oh my gosh! I mean, I'm going back. I can't tell you the year it started, but we've been connected, I want to say 30 years-ish.
It's 31 years old.
Okay. So I guess we were near the ground level there, and it's fabulous people that have run it in the past, and we've gotten to know the prior director very well, and her, but the board was always so welcoming there, and they always drew on a beautiful collection of musicians regionally and then beyond, that sort of amalgamation. That makes, to me, that's like the epicenter of a great summer festival is that. I mean, you can always have touring groups coming in, and that's what series do. But when you kind of like connect people and build families out of them. And, mm-hmm. and there's been enough of those that have made our life so rich, you know, around the country. And this is one of the best, I think.
I think you were referring to Joan Conway.
I'm sorry, I didn't get the name. Joan is amazing.
And, that was her vision.
What a spirit, you know, uh-huh. and we love her to death. It's just fabulous. And then Jenny and Andrew just have, you know, real passion and bring some, you know, ability to use the technology, fortunately, that's needed now. And, oh, my gosh, you know, so grateful for that. And, of course, there's sublime musicians. And
that's right. Something that connects all these directors mm-hmm. is they play.
And Jenny's family is just so rich musically. It's incredible. We're very close to Jack Unzicker, her brother-in-law, and her sister Martha. I mean, very, very close. They've commissioned music for me, and they've played some of my music more than I've played some of my music. And, you know, so it's wonderful. It's that circle of life thing that just, you know, it gets more and more concentric, and it's magic.
There's some great stories behind that music, the duos you created for violin and bass, that had to do with going to England and attending a horse derby.
I tell everybody my music, if we're talking about that, my music seems to be inspired by people and places. I guess I've always known that, but at some point it dawned on me that's basically, you know, I don't write from formulas and stuff. I mean, I guess I would have gone into math or accounting if that was what I was really drawn to, or theoretical physics or something. But for me, it's all about human experience in place and time. And that means people and locale. And that's just, mm-hmm. I mean, that's my muse, you know, by and large. So
one that struck me just a few years ago was when you wrote in memory now I can't remember.
Gunther Funken.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
You sent the notes to me, and I do remember I tried to put it on accordion.
Oh wow.
It almost worked, and then I ran out of buttons.
Well, this is a full circle because I wrote it for his memorial. You know, Agnes Hughes asked me to organize the music for his memorial, and we got some friends together and some pieces together, you know, people that were dear to him and music that we knew was dear to him. And then it was literally the night before, and it was like, I got to do better. And so I wrote a piece as quickly as I've written anything that I actually like, you know. And I'm getting choked up, the love of her life, because Agnes always said she must have said that in every conversation for a year. He was the love of my life, Tom. So that was the title of that. And then that's actually when I was writing for the Martha and Jack Unzicker of Volverd team. And so I said, maybe I can just use this as a movement within this. And it ended up being the middle movement of their three movement duo, which they've recorded and tour with, and you know, so well, we talk about there's the circle of life again right there.
And I do hope if you meet a more talented accordionist, they will take it up, because sit really well.
Maybe it's just going to be you and me that
like I said, I ran out of buttons, but
I've had that problem so many times in life.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Tom Kunifik, and Tom and Renata on violin, Jean on keys will be premiering it's pre-recorded at 7 o'clock this evening. And we're going to hear a little bit about how they got it on tape and recorded.
Sure.
Brought together all the family equipment and song lists. And is it coming basically from your home?
It's our living rooms. It's, you know, we could call it a garage band or the basement tapes or whatever, but it turns out it's our living room, dining room situation, you know. And we didn't actually realize that we would be doing it that way at first. We've done several of these where we show up to an empty church and there's some cameras around and people are like at a tremendous distance and you record and then they broadcast it for, you know, a variety of things we've done. And it's like, you'll be producing this, you know, and it was like, okay. So we've done a lot of concerts in our home. We've done fundraisers in our home. I mean, again, probably dozens for the College of Fine Arts, for the School of Music, for the Stuhlberg, for the Junior Symphony, and just for some friends as well. I mean, we've turned our home into a concert venue, intimate concert venue, so many times, and had many wonderful events and people in place for that. So we knew we could do it. It's just like getting the capture down. So one of Gene's best friends from his synth pop band, which is called Iverson, was founded by Charles Iverson, who's an absolute savant in like so many production details. I mean, he does, you know, in fact, I've just come around. I should have figured this out a couple of years ago. He's going to be my man now. He's going to save my career, I'm pretty sure. But so we gathered the, it turns out we have family Neumann microphones. It's like, hey, John, do you have any? Yeah, I got, hey, Gene, what? So we collected our Neumanns, and I have had a couple other nice microphones for the bass. And Charles took care of, you know, all the other gear and camera work and everything. And he ran the video and the audio engineering himself, you know, from the living room. And we did it, you know, mostly in one and or two takes. And it got knocked out way faster than I thought. You know, it wasn't like a record where you go back and make sure everything's absolutely perfect and wipe out blemishes technologically and stuff. We just did whole takes. Mm-hmm. And chose, you know, the better of the two, or in one case or two cases, we just did one take and try to keep
like
it sounding
that.
Real.
I
you
like
know?
That. Yeah.
We did, you know, wasn't you know?
I'd rather hear that.
This is not the CD. This is the it's a live concert.
Absolutely.
You know, from the living room.
Don't over fuss with this.
One of them was going to be a single take until the dog got into the picture, and I was actually down for keeping that, but she makes a lot of noises when she lays down and stuff. It's like. You know, we actually were like, is there some way? No, we really need to redo that one, you know.
Not sure that everyone out there would know what a Neumann is, but it's a microphone that is a huge investment, generally. It's a big investment.
Yeah.
And apparently, if you get a Neumann, it will not let you down.
It's German technology.
Really beautiful microphone.
The sound, yeah, the capture was really... We were actually shocked because, again, we didn't try to attempt to do like a recording, you know, but just capture some live sound video. We were like, wow, these really work. Here's a funny aside that nobody might think of, but I thought of just in the nick of time. We live in an area where there's you know, a lot of lawns and a lot of lawnmowers and a lot of leaf blowers, and a number of our neighbors have services. You just never know when they come up. So this is cacophony going all summer. If you actually hear silence for a full day, it's like... So I contacted every neighbor within what I thought was earshot and begged them, you know, not to have anybody's lawnmower or leaf blower going off during this period on, I think it was it the 3rd of July, whatever that Saturday was, or the first Saturday in July. And everybody accepted except for one guy across the street who didn't get the memo. And I had to run out in the middle and explain. And he was... It was pretty awkward. He's like, yeah, but my wife said I've got to have this done by. I'm not kidding you. And like, yeah, I said, I'll pay you not to. I'll mow your lawn.
Yeah.
And he still looked at me funny. And I said, like, I'll pay you not to mow your lawn. And then he was like, okay.
Oh, my goodness. Seeking silence.
Yeah,
it's
hard.
There's a challenge.
Yeah, because it's not an insulated, you know, sound insulated. It was our living room. It's like all glass and two sides, you know.
Heck, you go to the nature center and you think I'm in complete isolation, and then you listen and you realize, there's all kinds of man-made noise everywhere.
So that was a catch. I could have missed that altogether, and it could have been a disaster. But
well, once again, Tom Kniffick, Renata Kniffick, Gene Kniffick will be on your screens tonight, starting at 7 o'clock, and you can purchase your tickets now at saugatuckmusic.org. Full details are there. As Tom said, you know, getting concerts on your screen. Maybe you've already done that this past year. A lot of us have, certainly, but if not, it isn't that difficult, and pretty much is, you know, clicking on a button.
Yeah. Click here, big button.
And you're hoping to see lots of people watching. You probably can keep track of that and commenting.
Yeah.
And I think you're also offering a little chat back.
Yeah, we're going to have like a little, you know, afterglow or whatever they call that, you know. And we'll be there to chat and answer questions and or just do what we're doing now, basically, you know. Because after every concert, I mean, a big part of concerts are getting with the audiences afterwards. I mean, it's pretty rare to not have an event immediately following, just to say hello or a glass of wine or a cookie or something or more elaborate. But it's pretty common, or has been. And, I mean, without that, you know, if you're just seeing something on the screen and then it's just that's it, click. That's one of the most awkward parts about on-screen performances is like, over. You know, as opposed to just kind of like people wandering out of the room or waving at friends and stuff. And so one of the ways to ameliorate that is, you know, through these little chats afterwards. And we're happy to be part of that. Miss that a lot.
Well, that's a great feature for tonight's concert. We need to take a musical break. And I don't I think I should leave it up to you. Well, which piece we?
How long is Sienna? See. Maybe that's the one to do first.
Sure, this is a good 7-minute tune.
Okay,
all right, and a little intro for Sienna.
Fantastic. Well, I based it off of my studies in the Chigiana Academy in Italy in the 80s. Where I actually tried to propose to Renata, who was playing in the Santa Fe Opera, but at that time, getting to a phone for an international call, you'd stand at the post office and wait for your number to be called to go in a little phone booth, and then they'd try to connect you. It sounded a lot like this. And of course, you know, with the time zone difference and everything, I never got her. She didn't have an answering machine at her rental, her little Adobe rental in Santa Fe. So I kept doing that for you know, a month unsuccessfully. And then when I found the end of that story is very, very happy. We both landed at the same airport at the same time, unbeknownst to ourselves. And I proposed at the airport, Cleveland Hopkins. Anyway.
I love that you were like so, you know, on fire to make sure to lock that whole situation down.
Yeah. Well, my dad ended up getting a call to pick Renata up from the airport. He didn't tell her, oh, I'm picking up Tom from Rome anyway, because we were, you know, dating at that time. And he just never bothered to tell her. So like, we literally like bump into Cleveland Hopkins Airport has romantic possibility. A lot of people don't realize that, but it's true. So anyway, I wrote the piece in 2000 for the CD of the same name and, mm-hmm. you know, had to, you know, that's what it's about.
So are we listening to that first CD recording? Or
it's actually, no, it's an arrangement that I did for Gene and Renata and I.
Lovely. I'm with Tom Kniffick. We'll be right back after listening to Sienna. Again, details on this concert and tickets are available at sagatuckmusic.org. Tom, I know we were just chatting during the music, but half of my brain was listening to Gene's solo.
Oh,
with that big open intervals and based on this do da dee do dee do.
Yeah,
it's so lovely.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm certainly my family's been saving me for you know my 40-year career. They're like,
and that gorgeous tone Renata brings, absolutely lovely.
Thank you so much.
Well, that's just a preview of tonight's concert where we can actually see you, see the family interacting through music with selections like this, Sienna, that you wrote. And how many selections did you actually end up recording?
I'm going to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It looks like 7. So my second duo for violin bass, my first duo that you referenced earlier, If I Were a Bell, an American Songbook Standard, Sienna, we just heard.
Guys and Dolls,
Lesser, and a little Ellington medley. We close with Her Dance, which is a piece I wrote inspired in Mozambique a few years ago. And then a fabulous work on Renata's jazz CD from some years ago, which was it was so obscure. I only knew of one recording, which was with Bill Evans on the Affinity CD with Toots Thielemann. And I loved it so much that, you know, I arranged it for her and for this record. But back then, it was kind of early internet. I had real trouble even figuring out who this composer was. Now it's a little bit easier, and he's been an Italian composer, Gianni Bidari, but it was really hard back then to just to give him credit on the record, you know?
Yeah.
And it's one of the most haunting melodies I've ever heard in my life. And so that's in there too, Jesus' Last Ballad.
Beautiful. So. I actually these days enjoy that sensation of frustration when the internet can't answer my question.
That's right.
I'm like, there's something it doesn't know.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Yeah. We were wringing our hands back then, but it took some years just to like ferret it out, you know.
Well, one thing I was gathering as we talked during the music is that you and Renata have been awfully active since retiring from the School of Music here at Western Michigan University a couple years ago. It sounds like you've been all over. You're still reaching students of all kinds, masterclasses. Yeah. And
it's been a blast, I have to say. You know, you never know because you think you've got some stuff plotted, and even, you know, pandemic not. I mean, it was still like you just don't know where. But we had a couple years of concerts and things planned before the pandemic. Yeah, yeah. But we got to a lot of it. I was immediately asked to start a jazz academy in Thailand after I announced my retirement. The Facebook turns out to be a good thing. I should have said I was retiring whether I did or not. Long time, but all these things like coming out of the woodwork. I might just keep saying I'm retiring and see what else comes up, because a lot of wonderful work and opportunities that people thought, well, now he has time, you know. And it was amazing. It felt amazing. So there's a jazz academy in Bangkok that we started working on July of 2019. I spent a lot of that month there. And, of course, that's on a hiatus now because they're locked down. But I'm hoping that it comes back to fruition because I love Thailand. I love the Thai people. And the plan was for me to be there several months a year, you know. And then Renata and I started a brand new festival in China on Hainan Island, which is like their Hawaii. It's like an island in the China Sea. It's gorgeous. And we started that. It was also the end of July 2019. And it was spectacular. I mean, it was just magical. And artists from all over, some U.S., some Russian, where else? Certainly, a lot of the students were Chinese, but not all. And
what made you choose China?
Well, they chose us. It was a festival that they were starting there. It was like a pretty big and well-funded deal at a huge resort. And would you, of course, it just sounded magical, and it was. It was actually even more magical than we imagined. Of course, that's on hiatus now. We certainly hope that comes back.
Fingers crossed.
Renata just did a massive masterclass presentation along with people from the Emerson String Quartet and Vadim Guzmin, the great Russian soloist. And she was actually the only woman on the four-member masterclass panel. And it was great. I mean, she got a lot of props from it, and you know, lots of students were enjoying it.
So the structure of, you know, you have a schedule, and you're like day in and day out with all these commitments every single day. That's changed because, well, unless you've managed to recreate that.
No, that's the best part. Picking and choosing is really a blessing. Oh my gosh, you know, that's something. You have to understand, we were each on the road between, on the average, 50 and 80 days a year for 40 years-ish. And I know that because every year when we did the taxes and I had to figure out the miles and the days away, it's like we were, sometimes we were almost away the same number of days each, but I can't remember a year less than 50, and I think we maxed out in the high 80s, maybe 90 days. So all of a sudden, like, well, you have to stay home. It was like, okay.
And then you suddenly noticed all the leaf blowing all of the.
Sorry. No, it was actually, you know, we had a fabulous year, I have to say. I know it's hard for so many, but we. And last summer, it was like our kids called it Camp Canific because we would all, our family would all quarantine, test, and get together. And like a lot, you know, the grandkids were in the pool 5 to 6 hours a day and got the Apple TV outdoor movie thing going. And it was. The other thing is we've never spent an entire summer in Michigan since we were brought here 39 years ago, 38 years ago. And that's what people come here from all corners of the country to be here. And we never spent an entire one. And like they were all right to come here for the summer.
And about every other year for the last three decades, you've played at the Saugatuck Chamber Music Festival.
There's been a lot of wonderful connections there, and Merling Trio, and then just some, you know, groups that were created by Joan Conway just like sometimes put people together. I think these people would sound good together. And
right.
And also had several compositions played there, one premiered there a couple of years ago. And
sounds like just a really pleasant concert to see tonight that you're offering through the Saugatuck Chamber Music Festival website, saugatuckmusic.org. It starts at 7 o'clock, and there will be a little chat, a chance to interact afterward, after we get to hear the pieces and see the concert. And as you said, you're looking at quite a handful of pieces, some by you, but also you said Ellington and other standard composers.
It's kind of like what we are, you know, how I see myself, music with a capital M, you know, and given the three instruments that we had to work with, you know, but the ideas were embraced, you know. I wasn't sure if they would want us to try to do more standard repertoire, but I mean, they were really excited in this time to bring out something that's, for many people, it will be new sounding music and hopefully, you know, delightful music, you know. So that's the plan.
You've brought up Gene's band, Iverson, a couple times.
Yeah.
That formed about 4-5 years ago. I remember talking to Gene about Iverson, and even there is a founder of the band named Iverson.
Yeah.
It's actually, the story goes that there's a sort of a haunted cemetery with a mausoleum with the word Iverson on it. And that was kind of like, that would be kind of our inspirational.
I didn't know that. Gothic. So I just learned something about it's great to learn something about your family on National Public Radio live.
It was just one of those discoveries in a graveyard. But they have a totally different sound from, you know, standard jazz.
Sure. I mean, he's had this amazing couple of years. He's the one we worried about because he's in music 100%. And this is, you know, as a performer and writer, but it worked out great for him. Iverson had several projects ongoing during this time, and they've released several recordings. They have a performance coming up in Grand Rapids, I want to say the first Saturday in August. I don't want to guess that date. It might be the 7th, but it's definitely the first Saturday in August. But he's also been writing, he's written seven CDs of orchestrations of original music and orchestrations of other compositions for this prog rock project, which is interesting because prog rock guys, the original ones, are like my age. So he knows that demographic really well. He's dealing with me all the time. And so those have all been recorded at Abbey Road. And his last one was just weeks before the world shut down. It was middle of January 2020. And so not only is that's all been, you know, being produced and everything, they've even done some live videos. He's been invited to be in some of those performances now. And they have a month-long tour coming up, I think, next January, including the Fillmore West, you know, Montreal, like a full month of it. And then there's a UK tour coming up after that at some point. So
even though there's a bit of a knit, I mean, the band kind of is a niche band. If I were, because of the prog rock sound, it sometimes has a like a retro sound to it.
Sure. And they also grabbed the lead singer and composer of the group, Charles Iverson, is actually going to be part of this new project I'm referring. Just kind of like that whole circular thing. But then the other thing, the Spectral Quartet has completely adopted him. He's been writing for the Spectral Quartet in Chicago.
Strings.
Yeah, String Quartet, which is like they're the Chicagoans of the year last year. 5 Grammy nominations, I think. And they've been playing his music, and he appeared and wrote for them at a concert at Orchestra Hall in Chicago. The last live concert we went to was a premiere of one of his works by them and Julian Holter at the Music Box Theater. And then they just did another like virtual one from a beautiful concert house in Chicago. I can't remember the name right now, but we watched and they had the interaction. So they've basically adopted him, you know, and his writing and his performing, and they've got more projects coming up. So he was the one we were worried about, and it turns out.
that's what's so notable to me. I mean, we've seen it coming for a long time. You would just... young musicians need to be pretty adaptable career-wise and be thinking and taking opportunities that they might not have thought they were prepared to do.
Yeah, well, it turns out he even grew his teachings. He teaches, you know, regularly, and he actually grew his studio during this time, which was like, what?
So he teaches what sort of keyboard, like?
Classical and jazz and pop through the Voice Lab in Chicago, which is a really... open-minded, very, very wonderful organization. He's they do songwriting classes and also ensembles that he'll direct. And they were doing something with Adobe out in San Francisco. They were going out there and getting the staff at Adobe to like jam together, write music together and stuff. They're very, very forward-looking organizations. So all's well in Chicago for Gene, apparently.
We're going to see Gene on your screen tonight at 7 o'clock with Tom and Renata and a whole list of terrific pieces. Did Gene have a hand in several of these as well?
He did
some arrangements for past concerts.
Oh, he's done a lot of writing for us. And we've got two CDs we've got to get to that mostly his writing or a good extent of his writing. As I'm looking through this, I guess I have to say no, but that's kind of rare. You know, I think it was just the timing was tricky. I mean, he had to come in and we didn't have a lot of, you know, time. We really had to like be super efficient with our time together.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Yeah. Well, there's just no shortage of pieces you could possibly do anyway.
Yeah.
Why don't we hear another one of them?
Sure. Maybe duo number two. Do we have... I don't want to miss the Jesus' last ballad, so I don't know how much time we have left total.
We got to start Zhang's piece right now,
okay,
and then
let's
we
do
can
that.
Then finish with the
okay, that sounds great.
Last ballad.
That sounds great.
Any intro for this?
Sure. I wrote it for Dashun Zhang, who's one of the great bass players on the planet, who's actually teaching at the Tianjin New Juilliard School. I just interviewed him on the ISB talk show platform 2 months ago. And I know him here from Interlaken, and we worked together, and I kind of had a little bit to do with the start of his career, just enough that he remembered me and started sending students to me at Western who went back home and did fabulously well. So all of a sudden we're being invited to China, and we're still artists in residence at the China Conservatory since 2008 as a result of that relationship with Dashun. So I wrote a piece for him and his family, which we premiered in Beijing some years ago. And this is that.
And we'll all be clapping from home when we see that performance. I'm with Tom Knifik, who with his wife, Renata Knifik, violin professor at Emeritus from Western, and Gene Kniffick, the pretty extraordinary composer, pianist, player, will be presenting a concert you can see on your home screens through the saugatuckmusic.org link. That's the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck, which has done a hybrid season this summer. Its 31st season, and including the Kniffick family is a no-brainer for the organizers of Saugatuck, who have invited you and your ensembles to the festival for 3 decades now. And again, the concert starts at 7 o'clock tonight. I'm glad you could keep the through line going in this way. You were mentioning Jennifer Walvoord and Drew Lee, who are the current directors, co-directors of the festival.
Fabulous. They're just fabulous.
It sort of behind the scenes info is they actually had to, well, didn't have to. Drew accepted a position with a university in Ohio.
Kent State University. Yeah. So our stomping grounds.
So they had that layer of challenge to present this festival this year, too. So I'm really glad.
They did it. And they've got a fabulous series, too. I mean, they opened it up, and then there was a London in Your Home with Dylan Perez and Nikki Spence, Callista Quartet, the Acropolis Wind Ensemble. Those two groups actually did live. And next up after us, the Imani Winds, which is, you know, everybody's favorite. I mean,
everybody
just
wants
magical.
Them right now. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They're huge demands. So.
I had the great pleasure of bringing them here. I think it must have been 2018, along with Ed Simon and his big project, his quartet and them. That was one of the last big things I pulled off here.
That was a September concert. It's like
okay,
right at the beginning of the school year.
That's
boom.
Right.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, as I mentioned before, we have just a little bit of time now. So let's remind listeners again about tonight's offering. It's at 7 o'clock through saugatuckmusic.org. And we do want to finish up here with something called Jesus' Last Ballad.
It's a piece that we recorded, but I wanted to play the original recording because I think it's so beautiful, and it features also the great guitarist Gene Pertensini, I brought him to Western as long as I've been here, so that's like 30-plus years. And so he's known more about this school and the different administrators and different faculty than any of the current administrators or faculty spent as much time here as we have. And he's just one of the great, great, great voices in guitar. And so we recorded this together for Renata's jazz CD, which came out in the early 2000s.
Gene is on one of my favorite jazz hybrid recordings by Hubert Laws called The Rite of Spring.
Yeah,
I just love his playing. This is with Gene Bertensini.
The other Gene, who we named our son from. So, I mean, there's that tie-in.
Well, Tom, thank you very much. It's been wonderful to be with you in person, feel your energy, and be able to share some great information and music talk again with our listeners.
It's an honor. It's an honor to be in person with you, too.
All right. We'll see you again soon.